Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining. Today I wanted to share some things that are foundational. There's a place in Psalm 11 that says this. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrows upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And hear that again. It's a perfect description in the Old Testament, though, of spiritual warfare. It says, for behold, the wicked bend the bow, the fiery darts of the enemy. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. It does not sound like spiritual warfare. But if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe that so many Christians today in the world are vulnerable to spiritual warfare. They're struggling with more emotional and mental issues than ever before because the foundations have been destroyed. And so we're trying to build the church. We're trying to build our own spiritual house, personal house, you know, not corporately, but personally, but without a solid foundation, without a true foundation. Without it being built upon the rock. And anything else that's not built on Jesus Christ being the Christian life. Not just that the rock isn't just being a follower of Christ, but that Christ himself is the gospel. That Christ himself is the source and the origin of all spiritual activity that is pleasing to God. Without understanding that, then we're building our spiritual house on sand. And if our house is not built on the rock that is Jesus, if the foundations are destroyed, then what can the righteous do? And I believe with all my heart that the reason so many Christians in our day seem to be so vulnerable, so unstable, isn't just because there's an increase in spiritual warfare. And there is in every generation. It's like a snowball going downhill that gets bigger and bigger. So throughout the generations, the attacks of the enemy continues. Because you have to understand the enemy doesn't just live with this like fierce, angry, bitter attitude. The enemy's not totally ignorant of truths and possibilities. Remember, he was the worship leader in heaven. And if Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, he at least had some glimpse and some comprehension of God's plan, though not fully. His pride has robbed him of clear understanding and clear knowledge. But he knows that God is planning something as history builds, as we come to the end, that that he's heard, he knows that there's a second coming, there's a great battle. And so he's fiercely trying to weaken the body of Christ. He's fiercely trying to weaken the church because not only is he, again, angry and all that he is and horrible, he's also frightened. Anytime the enemy, and I've said this before, whether it's in your personal life or whether it's corporately, whether it's culturally or in the world, and we have certainly seen that in our culture in the last couple of years, anytime the enemy picks up his activity, seems to get more fierce, it's always because he knows something that's significant spiritually is about to happen in your life. You know, if it's on a personal level, that you're at the point of breakthrough, there's probably something you've been praying into concerning your walk with the Lord, and you've come to this place where it's fullness of time, and you're about to break through, and the enemy knows that. And out of being frightened that you're going to break through, he's frightened that you're going to take some ground from which you'll never relinquish, and he's going to lose some ground from which he will never recover. And so he pours it on. That's really an important truth for you to get, for you to understand. That if you're going through some kind of spiritual warfare, if you're going through some intense battle that's just gotten worse lately, it could be coming from lots of different directions, physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially, all kinds of stuff. If it seems like the enemy's pouring it on, this is a truth that you've got to get implanted down inside of you. Be encouraged. Though I know it's not fun what you're going through, be encouraged that it is because the enemy knows that you're about to break through into a new place of advance an advanced place in the Lord that you've been crying out for or praying for, and that he'll suffer permanent consequences from it. And so again, get that inside of you. Instead of immediately freaking out and getting so consumed with what the enemy's doing and becoming where you're like practicing the presence of the demonic and everything's about warfare, you got all these spiritual formulas and things you're trying to do to make it stop. I mean, there are decrees that we make. There are things that we do in our walk with the Lord. There are expressions of faith. You know, Jesus said the battle is his and not ours. And so that means that the battle is his and not ours. We act like it's ours. And we have to get it perfectly in the kind of spiritual warfare that we do, the kind of prayers that we pray. And we've created formulas. It's almost like Christian superstition. That if you don't say it just right, or don't say it just enough times, or whatever, that's not going to work. Jesus said the battle was his and not ours. That we're not to be afraid or be dismayed. That's reiterated over and over again in the Old Testament. So if you're going through something, one of the ways you can always tell if you're trying to do the battle for God is that you're struggling with anxiety and fear and obsession and all the other things that come with it. But if you're recognizing that your role is to walk in faith, because the battle's his and not yours, then you won't be afraid or be dismayed. And you'll understand that what's going on is an indicator, the warfare is an indicator, that you should now be on your tiptoes because you're about to break through into that place that you've been asking for, that you've been believing for. And that what's really happening is the enemy's trying to stop it. So with you're dealing with the issue in terms of walking in faith, standing in faith, making decrees in faith, be excited because what's going on is really important and it represents something really good. God just works that way. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that anytime you have a need, that need is evidence that there's a supply in God already provided. Think about in Genesis. The Lord didn't create lungs first, and then a few days later create air and tell mankind, Adam, and to say, just hold your breath for a few days and then I'll create some air and things will be better. The very fact that you have lungs, the supply of oxygen is absolutely essential, right? But the truth is, the way God does things is that he created oxygen first. And on the last day of creating things, he created mankind. So the very fact that man had lungs and needed to breathe oxygen, so he had a need, was proof that the supply, the provision in God was already there. That's the way the Christian life works. So anytime you're going through any kind of need, go ahead and start thanking him, even though you may not see it yet in the natural. Go ahead and start thanking him for the provision that's there for the need, because the need is evidence that the provision is there in him. Anytime you go through spiritual warfare, remember that that's proof that you're about to break through into the place you've been praying into. And the enemy's frightened. He's doing what he's doing because he's frightened. And he wants to slow you down, or he wants to get you so focused on him that you can somehow come to a halt and not cross over. He's trying to push against you crossing over. And what we do is we keep standing in faith. We keep praising God. We keep remembering that the battle's his, not ours. And we just make those decrees in faith again and again. Lord, thank you for this battle. Lord, thank you that the battle's yours, not mine. Thank you that the victory's already mine. Thank you that the enemy's been defeated. You made a public display of him, and I will not be afraid. I trust you. And then you just keep walking that out one step at a time. Amen? Now, that wasn't exactly the word I was going to share. I'll share next week the word I was going to share from Genesis. But I believe that the Holy Spirit redirected me because he wants us to hear that. He wants us to hear. Let me read the scripture to you, and then we'll stop. This is from Philippians chapter 2. Let's see what Paul says. It's Philippians chapter 1. I'm so sorry. Beginning in verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit. So he's talking about standing firm in faith. Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, together, contending together for the faith of the gospel. So he's talking about corporately, and of course it would be individually too, standing firm in faith. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God, or wholeness, deliverance. So let me read it this way. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of deliverance for you, and that too is from God. If you or going through battle, and you aren't alarmed, in no way alarmed by your opponent. You don't let yourself give in to fear, and you're not alarmed. You're not being alarmed. In other words, you're standing in faith is a sign of destruction to the enemy and deliverance for you, that you will cross over, that you will keep going, that this battle is going to result in God depositing spiritual wealth in your life beyond measure if you walk in faith. So let's put it this way. If you're walking in faith, not giving in to an alarm by your opponents is a sign of destruction for them. If you give in to fear, it's a sign to the enemy of your own destruction. Because he looks for signs. You know, if you ever find yourself doing deliverance session, if the enemy detects that the one who's doing the ministry is afraid, it'll be almost impossible to get that person free, because everything the Christian does, we do by faith. And the enemy looks for fear. He sniffs out fear. And then once he sniffs out fear, he pushes back even more. But if he finds a Christian, whether they're dealing with somebody who's got demonic stuff or they're just walking through demonic attack, walking through warfare, if they find that that Christian is not alarmed at all, but instead they're just walking in faith, looking to him who fights the battle, confident in him that you'll walk through this and that you're going to experience the breakthrough that you've been longing for. So there's this holy anticipation in you. If he sees that in you, he knows that his destruction is at hand. And he will eventually stop pushing, because he knows that his desperate attempt in attacking you is not helping. All that it's doing is, instead of pushing you back, his attack is accelerating you forward. That's the attitude. Well, I trust that any of you who are going through really a difficult time right now, and a lot of spiritual warfare involved in it, that you would hear that as a word from the Lord, that you're about to advance into breakthrough. And the enemy's throwing everything at you because he's afraid. And therefore, don't be alarmed. The fact that he's doing that is a sign that you're advancing and you're about to break through. And allow his attack to be what causes you to propel you across the line into breakthrough, instead of causing you to halt and become focused on the evil one. Okay? All right. Well, God bless you. I trust you have a great weekend. Abiding in Christ, allowing Jesus Christ to live the Christian life through you victoriously, because he's the only one who can. Have a great rest of the evening, and again, a great weekend.